Before we read the scripture this morning, I would like to introduce our guest speaker, Jennifer Weaver. So Jennifer comes to us from EMM. She is the Executive Assistant to the President and Director of Development.
Development Assistant.
Yes. I didn't get it quite right.
Director of Development shortly.
Okay.
So things are in a bit of a different order because I have a bit of an update from EMM before getting into the sermon. Easter Mennonite Missions. So I, as was said, work as the Executive Assistant to the President and Development Assistant. I am from Lancaster County, and right now I do live fairly close by near Lancaster Mennonite School. And I'm a part of Harbor Fellowship, which is in the West End Network, a church plant from West End Mennonite Fellowship. A few weeks ago, we moved temporarily to worship at Immerse. EMM's current leadership team, President is Marvin Lorenzana. He comes to us after years in the United States as a missionary originally sent by Amor Viviente in Honduras, which some of you might remember EMM supporting the missionary who was instrumental in founding that. So Marvin does consider himself to be a disciple of Jesus via the ministry of Ed King and is glad to be back serving the organization that sent him to Honduras. The leadership team also includes Joe Hollinger, who's Vice President, Chief Operating Officer, and the Director of Advancement. Lori Bench is the Mission Team Director. Steve Martin is Finance Director, and Becky Hess is Human Resources Director. Some other contacts you might know from staff would be Barry Freed, who is Development Director, Dave Cornish, our Recruiter, and Joe Garber, the Church Partnerships Coach. So EMM offices and LMC offices have moved within the last 5 years. The EMM offices are no longer in Solanga. EMM purchased the building there at 450 North Prince Street in Lancaster as a way to consolidate the staff offices into one building and also to have place for ministry to the community. So the first floor at the hub, what we call the building Hub 450, includes Neighbors Community Center and Neighbors Cafe. Then on the second floor is where EMM has its offices, and part of the offices are shared with LMC. So it's been good to get to know the LMC staff and interact with them in person. You may have seen that EMM has a vision and goal now of going to four regions outside the U.S. where there are a lot of people who are unreached people groups, and I will talk more about that later during this sermon. So those regions outside the U.S. are Central Asia, Central Europe, Southeast Asia, and West Africa, and then we also have Lancaster, PA, because we live here, and there are many people who come to Lancaster as refugees or other immigrants who do not have opportunity to hear about Jesus at home. So today I'm going to give an integrated update on the Peruvian Mennonite Church and Life Enrichment Churches. So Peruvian Mennonite Church is in the Cusco area of Peru, and October 14th will be their 35th anniversary of the day when the Lucre Mennonite Church had its dedication service. So the top left photo there is of leaders, especially the EMM missionaries at the time, laying their hands on and praying for the leaders of the Lucre Mennonite Church. So then, and through the years, the Mennonite missionaries and the Mennonites from Lucre reached out to other towns and villages and developed churches there. So at the top right, you can see a picture from inside Yarkakunka Mennonite Church, one of the highest in the world. The bottom right is one of the earliest baptisms there for that Lucre Church. And bottom left gets into some of my personal connections to the Peruvian Mennonite Church. So the two women in the front, I believe, were traveling to or from a youth retreat, but the woman on the left is my sister, Dawn Weaver Sandoval, and the woman on the right is my friend Angela Klein Fields. So they served back in the 2000s with the Peruvian Mennonites. Angela worked with the Percy Medical Missions, And Don helped with youth ministry and also taught at the Promesa School, which also is celebrating its 20th anniversary this weekend. So that top left picture is a picture of the new school building. I'm not sure if you've seen or heard information that they are trying to build a larger building because they've outgrown their facilities at the San Jeronimo Mennonite Church. So the bottom picture is in the worship area at San Jeronimo Mennonite. And Steve Gibbs is there teaching. Steve and his wife Beth are international partner delegates for LOC and EMM to the Peruvian Mennonite Church. There we go. So he's the left circle. And then the other circles, we see Marvin Lorenzana and Lori Bench there. So Marvin is president, Lori's mission team director, and they traveled with Omar Guzman, who is the catalytic coach for Latin America. So they were in Peru a couple summers ago, 2023, working with an evangelism training, learning about that. And then out of that training, some young adults continued visiting other places and reaching out with the tools that they learned. One of the young adults in the blue shirt on the right, the denim shirt, is named Fernando Valencia Cutipa, and he sensed a call to something more in missions. So then later that fall, he went to a training for young adults in Honduras, and through that time, he felt a call to serve and try to reach out to the Isan in northeast Thailand. So then he left, I think around February. So in January, there was during a time of a celebration of 500 years of Anabaptism in the Cusco area, his church, the Walker Pai Mennonite Church, held a commissioning service for him. So at that time, Steve and Beth, who are in the bottom right picture on the right, were able to be there to send him off, as well as some other EMM staff. So now, he's with the Life Enrichment Church, who are also a group that EMM founded in northeast Thailand years ago. The bottom left photo is from the service when EMM recognized the maturation of that church and changed from supervising the church to EMM missionaries as servants. So in that bottom picture, you see John Hertzler, who was the EMM team leader, and Lucille Zimmerman Martin, another missionary, washing feet of the leaders of the church. So that was in 2005. The photo above it was from a worship service. They have monthly big meetings by each district, and last fall, the EMM's board of directors sent a group of those available to visit the church and to experience EMM's work in the region, to understand what their work better, who they're serving. So that gathering was that large that they moved it to their kitchen building, so kind of their fellowship hall, because they were concerned that we would have too many people to fit in their regular worship area. Most of the time, the Life Enrichment Church gathers in house churches, so in the evening they gave us a bit of that experience. Okay, all right. So the picture in the white circle there is for Fernando. He is on location, and he's participating in something called the Isan Doorways Program that EMM's team of missionaries there in Thailand, as well as some other missionaries and the Life Enrichment Church, are partnering with to help missionaries get a good start so that they can persevere through the difficulties of working in a very different culture and environment to be able to stay long-term on the field. So then I have, so the woman in the orange shirt up with Fernando is a woman named Ruth Rivera. She's from the Amor Viviente Church in Honduras, who also recently started in that program. So they started with host families and then are now in stage two, which has them in the capital city, Bangkok, to learn the Thai language. And then eventually they'll return to do more service with LEC in hopes of helping LEC go to more towns and villages. So LEC does have the vision now of a house church in every village. So the picture down below, so up in that picture with Fernando and Ruth, we have the Horst family of Steve Horst and Bethany Tobin and their children. So they have currently moved to the city of Bangkok and are trying to reach out to Isan people living in Bangkok. The lower picture, the orange circles, are the Schoenholz family of Marcus Air Schoenholz, their daughters Heidi and Hannah. And they live in Dedudong, which is the main center for LAC in Ubon Ratchathani province in the east of Thailand. And then the red circles are Jennifer and Jeremy Jansen, EMM's regional representatives for Southeast Asia. So they supervise the workers and program activities of EMM in Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, and other countries. So this is a map I have that shows general areas for churches. So up top is the city of Ubon Ratchathani in Ubon Ratchathani province, top right. And then where the dark gray road, number 24, bends is Dedudong. So down near the Cambodia border, on the bottom right, the blue cross is the Nachalai district. And then the cross to the left of it is the Nam Nguyen district. So and then the province to the left or west of Ubon Ratchathani is Kisaket. And LAC has developed some relationships with churches in Susaket that were started independent of them. I don't know where those churches are located. I think they might be closer to the Cambodia border. So I'm not sure how many of you heard about some conflicts between Thailand and Cambodia. Our brothers and sisters of LAC from Nam Nguyen and Nachalai, as well as some from Susaket, did need to evacuate their homes because of missiles and bombs. And at that time, Ruth was in the middle of her homestay in the Nachalai with a family from Nachalai, and the Horst family was visiting Nam Nguyen, where they had served for many years. So they evacuated with other brothers and sisters according to a plan that LAC had in place to the church center in Dedudong. So there's a picture of them with some others. So the church did have plans to host people at the church buildings, and there they are standing with the gift of some water and durian fruit, which is a delicacy there. So now switching a bit into the sermon, we'll start by reading the scripture, Romans 10, 8 to 15. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So here in Romans, Paul writes to a church that he did not start, introducing himself and his ministry, as well as dealing with some pastoral care issues that he had recognized in the church. So this passage comes from what might be considered the center, the crux of this argument. Both the center, the core of the gospel, as well as the need for others to hear it. So it starts out in verses 8 to 10 with talking about our salvation. So what does it say? The gospel, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning the faith we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So it talks about the word is here in our mouth and in our heart. So we declare and confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, saying it and meaning it, and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So believing with the heart, believing can sound like a head or brain thing, but in the heart, believing with our heart includes a depth of feeling and commitment behind it. And it talks about the belief, talks about that status of justification with God as his children. Mouth and speaking sounds a bit more like action, things that we do. So in that case, it's the process of salvation as sanctification, being made more and more holy like Jesus as we follow him. So spiritual disciplines are things that help us with this process of, they don't make us right with God. That is what Jesus did with the cross. However, as we practice them, the Holy Spirit works in us to make us more like Jesus. So here's your turn. What spiritual disciplines can you name that we would practice?
Prayer.
Prayer, yes. Prayer is definitely an important spiritual discipline. Any additional ones?
Studying the Word.
Yes, reading and studying the Bible more.
Gift giving and service.
Yes, serving others and giving. And? I have a couple more that we've been practicing this morning.
Worshiping.
Yes, worshiping and praising God. And? Gathering with others. That's also important for gathering with other Jesus followers.
Silence and meditation.
Silence and meditation, yes. There was a teaser that came up. There, a pickle. So why on earth am I wearing pickle earrings and I have a pickle in the slideshow and I brought some pickles in the jar with me? So a few summers ago at EMS Oasis Retreat, I learned this imagery from Lori Bench, the mission team director. The word for baptism in Greek, baptizo, first appeared in an ancient pickle recipe. So what you do is you would take your cucumbers and you baptize them in the liquid. And as they stay in that liquid, they change and create additional health benefits. Vitamin K concentration increases, they last longer for safe consumption. They have increased sodium. I know we usually get too much sodium in our diet, so that one doesn't seem like as much of a benefit, but that is a change that happens. So yes, the longer those pickles are in the jar, in that brine, the more the cucumber changes. So thinking about that, the image is that I want to be a Jesus pickle. I want to soak in Jesus and grow to be more like Jesus. How? These spiritual disciplines, individually and corporately with others, are a way to soak in Jesus and become more like him. So we move along that anyone, verses 11 to 13, that anyone who believes in Jesus will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, that's good news. So Christians at the time of Jesus started out all Jewish. The followers of Jesus, the disciples, he trained Jews as his followers, reached out to the lost children of Israel. However, God always wanted his people and his word to be good news for everyone. Starting way back, creating humans in the garden with good work to bring better out of it. And then After the fall, Genesis 3:15, there was a promise of rescue, conquering that serpent. Genesis 12, the call of Abraham, yes, blessing Abraham, but that he could be a blessing to all nations. That repeats in the Psalms. Some other scripture passages in the Old Testament call for all people on earth to know God's name. So Exodus 9:16, Joshua 4:24, 1 Samuel 17:17, 1 Kings 8:43, Isaiah 52:10. This is something that God has wanted throughout history. Isaiah 49:6 calls us to be light to the nations so that all earth can know salvation. The temple was built with a place for all nations to pray. In fact, when Jesus cleansed the temple, it was because the court of the Gentiles and women was being run as a marketplace, impeding their ability to worship. However, the Jewish people through time developed this idea that separation from others was necessary for them to be holy and obedient to God. In the Judges, they did not do so much separation. They worshiped other gods. We have the cycles of constantly them worshiping other gods, going astray, and then God having to rescue them. And that continued through the kings and kingdoms, and eventually both the northern and southern kingdom went into exile. And in exile, they learned, okay, we need to focus on following God. But the way that they followed God had them being separate from others, not being priests, connecting others to God. However, as they spread out around the Roman Empire and had their synagogues, there would be people from the cultures around them who were what they called God-fearers, who would worship a bit with the Jews when they gathered. And so as followers of Jesus took the message around the empire to the different synagogues, there were people in the area who were Gentiles who chose to follow Jesus as well. So in Romans, the Roman church had that experience. So where they had Jews and Gentiles who believed, but then in Rome there was a unique situation when disturbances among the Jews over someone named Christus caused the Roman emperors to bar the Jews from Rome. So Gentile Christians got to stay in Rome, but Jewish Christians had to leave with the other Jews. But then after a while, the Jewish Christians were allowed back. And then there was some conflict in the church in Rome between Jewish followers of Jesus and Gentile Christians who felt like they were doing their own thing and were okay and didn't really need the Jewish Christians. But Paul says that we all need each other. Another thing about Rome So this is something for everyone. So the idea of Rome at the time was a gateway city. Through it, they had the saying that all roads lead to Rome. So there'd be people coming to Rome from many places, and through them you could go out to their places by reaching those people. So I have a picture there of the St. Louis Arch, because St. Louis is known as the gateway city for people to head to the west. But that is something, the gateway city of people coming together and remaining in contact with their peoples at home is something that we experience in many places in the U.S. And perhaps you can even say that Lancaster has a bit of that with all the peoples of different cultures that we've welcomed here. So this idea of following Jesus and being, right with God is something that is true today. It is good news for me, for you, and for everyone you and I know. And Jesus still gives us the call to preach to all nations. Matthew 24:14 has that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony of all nations, and then the end will come. Mark 16, 15 to 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And then in 16:20 it says, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it." We often talk in Matthew 28:18-20 as being a great commission, that this is something for everybody, that Jesus came to his disciples and said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Because, as Revelation has, God's desire is that, as in Revelation 7:9, a multitude from all nations, tribes, people, and languages will worship before the throne. So what is the need that we experience in the world? Verses 14 and 15 from Romans 10. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So there are four types of people mentioned in that passage. Who are they?
We who are the sent ones.
Yes, people who are sent. And? So yeah, there are people, so the people who are sent are the preachers. There's also people sending the preachers. So that is something to think about, that we are all supposed to be sent where we are, that some people might be sent elsewhere. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. And why are we sending and preaching? Because some people have not believed.
And they haven't heard.
Right. Some people do not believe because they haven't heard. They don't even have the opportunity to believe. Has anyone seen this symbol before? You might need to be in certain circles to see it, but so there are three, tally marks. One of them is a bit separate. That indicates that of the world's population, over 1 in 3 people is considered least reached or unreached. There are people groups who are unable to hear about Jesus because the Christians among them are too few in number to evangelize their neighbors without outside help. So in this case, oftentimes it means that evangelical Christians are less than 2% of that group's population. So here's some data about the world today from the Joshua Project. So the red groups would be considered unreached, least reached. So we're looking at about 42% of the world's population, more than 1 in 3, are from people groups where they have a hard time learning about Jesus because they don't have those bodies of believers. Well, they don't have believers around who can gather together, who can tell others about Jesus, or bodies of believers for new believers to join. And some of them don't even have Bibles in which to read the story and continue to grow in that word. So you could also think about this in terms of access. So they, like the unreached, least reached, would have lack access to these believers and bodies of believers and Bibles, so freebies. So a woman, here's a story about that. A woman traveled with the EMM group to Thailand to visit our workers and churches there. During an opportunity for shopping, she said, "God bless you," to the cashier. The cashier asked, "Which God?" She responded, "Jesus." "Who is Jesus?" "He's the God who created everyone and everything and loves you." This is an example of why people need to go and be sent to least reach people groups. Many people have not even heard about Jesus, much less chosen to follow him. So here we have some data from the Joshua Project on the Isan in Northeast Thailand. Don't know if you remember from the maps earlier that our workers and the LEC church are there in that bottom right, Uba Ratchathani, and a bit south, but the Isan as a whole, about 19 million people, many in rural, like, farming villages, many of them without people nearby who can tell them about Jesus. So I also talked about the Cusco, the Quechua of Cusco. They might be an example of limited reach. I mean, they do have Bibles in the Quechua language now, but they would be called Christian because Catholic priests went through and made sure that everyone got baptized before the conquistadors came through to kill people who weren't Christian. But depending how remote they are, they may not have had continued Catholic leadership in their villages. And then many of their worship practices might be Catholic saints' names on the ideas of their traditional spirits and worship services. So they still need people. So they do have evangelical churches, Christians who will go and tell them how to better follow Jesus. So that's about almost 4%, including our brothers and sisters with the Peruvian Mennonite Church, telling them. However, there's still also need for hearing. And so the Peruvian Church did start out with a lot of evangelical zeal. When my sister was traveling with YES teams before she served long term, they did participate with the local Peruvian Mennonites in taking the Jesus film out to different towns as a way of proclaiming the story of Jesus, introducing that to people who then could choose if they wanted to follow Jesus more thoroughly. So in that case, the access does include the proximity perhaps to believers and bodies of believers. So thinking about those three B's, about believers, bodies of believers, and Bibles, full access. Why would I say that Americans in Lancaster County have full access to Jesus in the gospel?
There's a church every couple miles.
Yes, every couple miles or even closer.
Bibles,
yes. You can find Bibles in stores. You can find Bibles online. A lot of people have internet access. So yes, the believers that you would interact with in daily life, even one that's not necessarily, it's not part of the three B's, but you do also see sometimes billboards and signs related to it too. So that is considered fully accessed and fully reached. However, there is a bit of a difference between an area being reached and what everybody in that area being saved. So yes, there is still some need around us as well as in these other places where they need outside help. So thinking about that condition, our response, what are we supposed to do with this? The end of Romans 10:15 cites Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. One thing that I do want to make sure that is clear is that God can use me. No excuses. You might have questions or doubts. Remember that Great Commission in Matthew 28? I read the 18 to 20 part, then in verse 16, when the disciples of Jesus saw him coming, they worshiped him despite some doubting. And Jesus commissioned all of them anyway, whether or not they had some doubts. You may also think that you still need to learn a lot. Jesus' disciples had to learn a lot. They were with him for 3 years and they were still fighting over who was the greatest during Holy Week at the Last Supper. Jesus had to gently correct them over that. You may also think, well, I don't speak well for preaching. I don't know what to say. Well, you can get training. Moses did try using that excuse, but God didn't let him get out of his job for him. He gave him Aaron to help with speaking. And Jesus also promised his power through the Holy Spirit and the words we need to represent him, even if you are brought before governors and kings as witnesses. In Matthew 10, 19 and 20, "But if they arrest you, don't worry about what you will say or how to say. At that time, it will be given you what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." So we have talked about the full access that we as Americans experience here. There are also people of what we might call near cultures around us who have come, so they may have a slightly more limited access. In the U.S., it is, with especially around here with all the believers, they often will be able to interact with believers. Although there is also something about your heart language, being able to worship God in the language that's your first language that you love, that connects well. So now I would like to try, see if we can get this video from Reality Santa Barbara.
"And to be known by him." This is the story of the Bible, God bringing people to himself. And when we read the Bible, we see how God went to great lengths to do this, and how much God cares about people knowing him. You most likely already know this. And you probably live somewhere where people have a general understanding of this great love story between God and humanity. And if they don't know yet, there's probably somebody in town who can tell them. But did you also know that there are 3 billion people who will live and die without ever hearing this story? Not because they don't care, but because they don't have a choice. Nobody ever told them that once upon a time, God became a human just like them, so that he could teach them how to know their Creator. 40% of the world doesn't know this, and they won't know this. Not unless something changes. Not unless someone goes to tell them. Jesus is our wonderful example. He left his natural home to come to us, and then he tells us to do the same thing. Because we love Jesus and care about the same things that he cares about, we care about this. That the whole world would know him. That every tongue, tribe, and people group would come and be able to worship him. So the question is, are we doing this? Going out into the world to bring the gospel to every tongue, tribe, and nation? Well, kind of. While churches do send people out, almost half the world still doesn't have any access to the gospel. But how is this possible? Aren't there people being sent? Well, yeah. There are about 400,000 people serving across the world today. But only 3% of them are actually going to the 40% who have never heard about Jesus. The other 97%, they're going to places that have already heard about Jesus. There's an imbalance. That imbalance leaves only one person for each 250,000 people who have never heard about Jesus. Put another way, we have a Spirit-led calling to rethink our focus. When you look at how we use our resources, such as money, the picture doesn't look that much better. To be specific, Christians around the world are giving about 2% of their income to Christian causes. And less than 7% of that is going to cross-cultural workers. And of that cross-cultural giving, only 1/100th of that 0.1% is actually going to those working with the 3 billion people who don't know Jesus, have no church, or any Christian neighbors. The other 99% of all cross-cultural giving goes to the rest of the world that already has Christians, Bibles, and churches. Are you seeing the imbalance? Only 3% of our workers with only 1% of our cross-cultural finances are going to the 3 billion people who have never heard about Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, are we okay with this? We want those 3 billion people to hear about the kingdom of God and how much God loves them. There are 17,000 ethno-linguistic groups in the world. People who share language, culture, and common history. 7,000 of them are considered unreached people groups. These are entire cultures who have never heard the amazing story of how Jesus loves them and came to save them. God has called us to pay attention to this, to love and care for the same things that he does. He put this desire on our heart, to see the unreached reached with the amazing story of the love of God. We want to see lasting local church planting movements begin among these people groups that brings renewal and transformation among these cultures and societies. Why? Because God has moved our hearts to see the gospel transform whole societies among the unreached. We know this task is bigger than us. Many of the areas that are in need of the gospel are difficult and resistant places.
It isn't something that can be accomplished overnight, but by the power of the Spirit, we endeavor to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, so that God can be worshipped by all peoples.
Yes, that is a calling. There is need. How can we respond? I am here from Eastern Mennonite Missions, which was started so that the Mennonites of Lancaster area could fulfill their calling to take the gospel to the unsaved around them and the unreached around the world. So today, EMM does have the mission statement that Christ's transforming love compels us to cross cultures, engage the world, and multiply disciples of Jesus. For the purpose, the Eastern Mennonite Missions exist to catalyze movements that multiply disciples of Jesus around the world, giving primary focus to people groups that are currently least reached. Remember, we talked about how EMM sent workers to the Quechua in Peru, who were then least reached. And now they are sending a worker to the Isan, who are also currently least reached. So EMM has a strategic focus of our kingdom multiplication vision that EMM identifies, equips, and sends missional leaders to serve on multi-generational and multi-ethnic teams who invite people to follow Jesus as maturing, multiplying disciples, and nurture transforming communities of worship. So we are primarily focusing on least reached people groups of Central Asia, Central Europe, Southeast Asia, West Africa, as well as refugees in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So these areas of focus were selected by EMM leaders based on where there's a lot of need in the world, as well as where EMM had some connections. And then some of it might be more of a growing edge. Central Asia, we don't have as many connections yet. And you would think Central Europe is a bit of a surprise that it's considered least reached. So Central Europe is the part of Europe of countries that were not part of the Soviet Union, but that were considered behind the Iron Curtain and communist. So in that case, there are many people who don't follow Jesus, may not hear about him because it's become so secularized. So the Czech Republic, which is the start of the Moravian Church and some pre-Reformation worship, now has, 1% or less evangelical Christians among them. So how does EMM go about this? We have our core values of obedience to God and His call, of seeking well-being for the people we serve as well as ourselves, and of multiplication, seeing what we do multiplying. And now I'm going to get into a bit more of my personal response, perhaps focusing especially on obedience from those values. So I am somebody who believes that I am called to Marseille, France. So there you see a map. The big part is Marseille, and then the smaller inset map shows where it is in France and Europe. So that is, I'll tell my story and then I'll talk a bit more about Marseille. So I was in a time of transition. Around 2018, I felt like I was burning out with the job that I had and needed some more, meaningful connection, use of, skills and training, and just wasn't really sure what to do, where to go. And so I'd seen this ad that EMM had in a publication about Marseille and its work in Marseille, and said, contact Jim Dirksen to know more. And during that time, it came back to my mind a few times. I was like, okay, maybe I'll follow up on this ad, because the whole support raising missions wasn't on my radar. So I sent an email to Jim and was like, can you tell me more about what EMM is doing in Marseille? And he responded about that, EMM wants to get team together in Marseille. At the time, EMM had a focus of reaching out to Muslims, and Marseille has significant Muslim immigration and population. And so Jim concluded his message with, "What is the Holy Spirit saying to you?" I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. Several weeks of just not responding, not knowing what to say, then finally I was like, well, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's saying to me, but this is why I'm interested. When I was in high school, I studied French, and because of that, participated on a stat team that EMM had that went to France. And when I was in college, I had studied abroad in the Middle East Studies program, so got to learn a little bit about the Arabic Middle Eastern culture and Islam. And so I was aware of the Muslim immigration. And so this was in 2018, a few years after the 2015 and 2016 when there was an intense wave of immigration to Europe. So I was aware that Marseille, as a port city on the Mediterranean, would have received migrants, but not just from the Middle East and North Africa, the Arabic cultures, but also from Sub-Saharan Africa. And I'd had some experience of Sub-Saharan African culture after college when I served with MCC's SALT program in Nigeria. And then while previously trying to figure out, what to do, how to develop my skills, I'd also gone to Eastern Mennonite Seminary and gotten a Master of Divinity. So that qualifies me, I would say, as a church nerd and interested in church things and missions. So based on that, anything EMM would do in France would interest me. And so Jim responded to this explanation with, "Need I say more?" Oh. Huh. Then, so reflecting on that had me develop the understanding that I believe that God has used all these different things to prepare me for serving Him in Marseille. So I spent some time learning a little bit more about Marseille. So population, the latest figures I found were about 1.8 million people in the Marseille area. Of course, like much of the world, they love their football, which we would call soccer. But it also had this reputation, so it's the largest port city for France on the Mediterranean, the main Mediterranean port, one of the biggest ports in Europe. But it also had this reputation, you can see there's a book there called The Wicked City. So as I was searching Marseille on the internet, I was getting a whole bunch of things for Marseille tarot cards. So I guess they printed out the tarot cards, and as with some of Europe, people who have secularized past Christianity sometimes are interested in the pre-Christian, I don't know if animism is the right word, I'm not remembering the correct thing, but then also another wicked city, corruption includes organized crime. It's a bit of Marseille's reputation in France. As well as then there's a picture of a neighborhood in Marseille that I read about through an online news article where it talks about how the landlords of that neighborhood were not keeping the buildings in good repair. And one of the notorious slumlords for that area was the deputy mayor of the city. But at one point, I think it might have been at a CCL that LMC had. I remember attending a seminar, and then afterwards, some women prayed with me. This was 5 or so years before my understanding of my call to Marseille, and Jonah came to me that going to Nineveh. So now looking at this, Jonah 4:11, God says, "Should I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well?" So Marseille is somewhere that does have Catholic churches around, and there are some evangelicals. It's hard to get data on France because the country is officially secular, so they don't collect religious census data. But yet, even if they're 10%, the evangelicals there feel like a really small percentage in that big city. And a lot of times people kind of keep to themselves in their cultural groups. So there would be immigrant groups that wouldn't be Christian, that would be kind of separated socially from others. So how can I connect? I've enjoyed playing soccer when I was younger. Love trying different foods, interested in fabric, and I've heard that fabric is something that's in the Marseille's culture. I also have some good things to bring from my Mennonite heritage, the idea of worshiping Jesus together with others, living for Jesus, incorporated that into my life, and good relationships with others, and different gathered worship practices. So the church in the center, Indiantown Mennonite Church, is where I grew up going to church. And then from that I moved to West End Fellowship, pictured at the bottom, and then now I worship with Harbor Fellowship, pictured at the top. Some of that gathering together to worship Jesus and also trying to integrate a bit of life together through weekly gatherings of small groups with meals and Bible study in homes. And that, top right picture was from when Mennonite World Conference was in the area, which is, I think, is another blessing, those connections worldwide. So during a training I had with EMM, there was a time of prayer for infilling of the Holy Spirit, renewing us in that strength. And somebody prayed over me the idea of, like, my last name being Weaver, and then that being the image that God was saying, the idea of being able to weave, you could say, the vertical ideas of, like, the church and following Jesus in with some of the horizontal cultural ways of connecting with people to make sure that they have the opportunity to hear about Jesus and see what it's like to follow him, to decide if they want that for themselves too. So the idea of being light in darkness there. So now I am in the process of trying to get there to serve. I know that when I go, I will connect in with a church. At this time, I'm the only one who's responded to that ad from EMM. And I did not put a picture of the ad in this PowerPoint because I can't find it in EMM publications. Now that I'm on staff there, we've been looking some and haven't found it. But I know that I looked at it more than once. So maybe God had me hallucinating spiritually a couple times, but yeah. So I know that connect with church life. I also want to connect with people through starting out with some French studies to both improve the French that I have as well as get some certification that could be helpful different times. And through it all, I want to be involved in discipleship and teaching. What will the ministry be after French studies? Will I get involved as well in welcoming immigrants or student ministries? I need some more time there to figure some of those out. So my personal vision verse from John 10:16, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So my next steps in this are gathering my support of prayer, relationships, finances, trying to clarify vocation and ministry activities. So at this point, it looks like I'll be starting out with language study, but I need to go through the getting into a program to get a visa. I'm aiming to leave in January, start schooling in January in Marseille. So how is God calling you? Thinking back over this message, what stands out to you about it? What's God saying to you? We talked about the spiritual disciplines, soaking in God, in Jesus, becoming more like him, as well as going to people around you, and also the people who need help who are farther away. So how will you say yes to Jesus this morning, and how will you live it out this week? We'll take a couple minutes to reflect on that, and as you're doing that reflection, I will give you some of the connection opportunities with EMM to help you in responding. You can give time to God via EMM, praying. So there I have the bottom right picture is in our monthly newsletter. We have prayer requests for each day. So that's a way you can get started praying. Above it I have the invitation to our banquets this fall. The theme this year is praying for kingdom come. So we will practice praying for different people groups around the world who need to hear, as well as hearing from our workers stories about how prayer is crucial to their ministries. You can participate in training such as the Kairos training. There are some other courses available on the Radix training platform that EMM and LMC share. And one of the courses is called Zume, and that connects with the course that was done in Peru that started the people there, like re-energized them for evangelism, as well as got Fernando thinking about going further. There are also service opportunities with Neighbors Community Center there at Hub 450 in Lancaster, and also we can use receptionists at the front desk for the LMC and EMM offices. Another opportunity is always giving money. EMM does need money to support the work both here and as well as to workers around the world in different programs. I'm also asking you to consider giving human resources in missionary service. So we have opportunities for youth with our K-Teams programs. A lot of them are locally, but we do have the opportunity for youth groups to go globally. Young adults in advance, that's a gap year program, starts out with several months of discipleship training based here in Lancaster, and then follows up with several months on location learning from and assisting EMM workers around the world. And adults of all ages are welcomed as called to serve in internships for a shorter period of time and long-term service. Okay, this concludes my time speaking today, but I do encourage you to keep thinking. How is God calling you to say yes this week?